We're going to consider now the call. As you know by now, the thing starts with the gospel. And so we have Jesus calling people in the gospel, and most of them trying to find an excuse not to follow him. Pretty terrible. That means now we're going to have discipleship in these readings. So the first one is this call. It's in 1 Kings 19. A little bit in verse 16 and then verses 19 to 21. It's the call of Elisha. And you're going to see everything I just said. The caller meets the called or the to be called at an occupation. Elisha is plowing, for instance. Matthew is collecting taxes. Peter and that crowd, they're all fishing. They're busy. And he calls them, stop all that and come. That's what happens a lot in what we call delayed vocations. A guy's a businessman, but he hasn't married, or a lawyer. A lot of lawyers become priests. And so late, that's why we have a seminary for the people who were engaged in a profession and called. A lot of us are called, but aren't engaged in any profession. Maybe we're a student. Drop everything and follow Jesus. Stick with him. Love him. Be close to him. And then you are a disciple, and he can trust you, and he can tell you what he wants, and you're going to do it. And so that's the way this goes. So the Lord said to Elijah, you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet to succeed you. So Elijah set out. See, obedience is the key to discipleship. Elijah set out. If the Lord says to you, look, I want you to get up early tomorrow morning and pray a lot before you start your day, because I know what's going to happen to you, but you don't. Obey. If you love me, you keep my commandment. And my Father will love you. And I will love you. And I will show myself to you. That's discipleship. What does Jesus ask Peter? Peter, are you a good administrator? No. Peter, do you love me? So here, Elijah set out and came upon Elisha, the son of Shaphat, as he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. You see, he's at an occupation. He was following the 12. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak over him. Elijah left the oxen, ran after Elijah and said, please, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye and I will follow you. And Elijah says, go back. Have I done anything to you? In other words, the ball is in your court. You know what I've just done. And you know that it's from the Lord. So if you want it, follow me. Have I done anything to you? So Elijah left him. And taking the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He used the plowing equipment as fuel to boil their flesh. He gave it to his people to eat. Then he left and followed Elijah as his attendant. So it doesn't say whether he went home or not. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will follow you. Go back. Have I done anything to you? That's the challenge. So it doesn't say, and then he went back, and then he came, and he cooked this meal on the remains of the plow and the yoke. No. So you see there the rhythm. Coming upon somebody in an occupation, interrupting his whole life, saying, from now on you follow me. And the guy's so happy he has a party. Like Matthew. I can remember I was 19 and all my friends had a party for me when I was leaving to go off to be a priest. Second year of college, and that was it. Technically, I don't have a BA to this day. And they had a big party for me. It was lovely. And I've stuck with those guys. I don't see them a lot, but I do see them. So that's Elijah, you see? And that rhythm starts. And it will continue and continue. So disciples are those who are called. That makes you a disciple. The word means learner. Mathetes, even in Greek. Talmid, from Lamad. All these words. Learn. But it's not a peripatetic philosophy. It's adherence to the master in love, learning from him and doing what he tells you. That's what makes a disciple. Well, I never hear him. Well, if you got out of bed early and prayed, you would. A lot. And you could say to the Lord, you know, Lord, I just heard all this stuff about discipleship. I want to, you know, do it. How do I do it? If you go that far, the Lord will go the rest of the way. He'll show you. I know of a priest, he gets up every morning, makes a cup of coffee, sits down in his chair, and he has a cup of coffee with Jesus. And it works. I couldn't do that. I'd get distracted. I want to just be there with him. But you see that the key to discipleship is not raising money or giving good sermons or being nice to the people. It's loving Jesus and listening to him. He opens my ear day by day. If anybody loves me, he'll keep my commandments, and then I will love him. And I will show myself to him, and the Father will love him. And so, the psalm that we have in this collection is connected, if you get the idea that you can't be a disciple in the full sense of the term unless you're praying. And you can't pray, put it the other way. You can't be a disciple unless you're listening to the Lord and obeying him. That's a disciple. See, you can't be a disciple unless you're praying. That means you have to fight for a prayer time and learn to love Jesus. Trust him. Do what he tells you to do. And you will have a joy and a fruitfulness in your life because you're doing what the Lord tells you to do. Psalm goes like this then, you see. Keep me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. O Lord, my allotted portion and my cup, you it is who hold fast my lot. I'm your disciple. I just cling to you. I bless the Lord who counsels me. Even in the night, my heart exhorts me. See, he's a Talmid. He's a disciple. He's listening to the Lord. I set the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. You feel it? There's this relationship. I've called you to be a disciple. I've called you to be my friend. And if you listen to me, we will be friends. I will love him, and my Father will love him, and I will show myself. Just listen to me and do what I tell you. Therefore, my heart is glad, my soul rejoices, my body too abides in confidence. Isn't that amazing? You see? Because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, or will you suffer your faithful one to go undergo corruption? I should have had one with lovers here. Okay. Let me key. I will not be moved. All right, even at night. I have placed the Lord. Tamid, mimeni bal imut. I will not be, you see, I will bless you, Lord, because you have counseled me, okay? And in night, you discipline, you guide, you correct, you organize. And the word here, Kiryotai, it means, because for the ancients, you didn't think with your brain. You thought with your kidneys, like, you know. You thought with this part of you. Pretty profound anthropology, actually. Because you can think all you want, but if it doesn't get to your guts, you're not going to do it. That's our problem, right? So, therefore, my heart is glad. My soul rejoices. My body, too, abides in confidence. Why? Because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption. And that's that word we just looked at, you see. And then, you will show me the path to life, fullness of joys in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. That's a disciple. I love you, Lord. I want to be with you. I want to hear you. I want to talk to you. I want to obey you. You have a plan, and I'm part of that plan, and I want to make sure I do what you want in that plan, whoever I am. I'm supposed to marry Alice and have children and get a good, honest job, raise them and care for them, and by my love for them and my truth with them, reflect the Father. That's my job. That's my vocation. Or I'm supposed to drop everything and just follow you, Jesus, wherever you take me. That may be to a mission field or a parish or to a hermitage. But I want to follow you because I love you. The disciple, there's more to it than just obedience, right? In fact, our Lord says it. If anybody loves me, you see, he'll keep my commandment. So, love comes before keeping the commandment. You can keep them all, conform, but if you don't love Jesus, pretty soon they get to be too much. For every once in a while, you got to go, you know, take a little compensation on the side or whatever. I'm so impressed with this. But as I was preparing this, even in my own life, I'm thinking, love Jesus. That's the key. If I love him, I trust him. And if I love and trust him, I'll do whatever he tells me to do. And thrilled that he's calling on me. But you can see that this theme of this Mass and these examples we're getting here, you see, they all boil down to putting Jesus first out of love. Not out of duty, not out of fear, not out of, I got nothing else to do. Out of love. That's the hooker. And that means what? It means we have to know him. And to know him means we've got to be praying in the morning before we start the day for at least an hour. That sound like a lot? It's not. You know, doctors, lawyers, they got to prepare themselves their own way. We have to prepare ourselves our way. And not just the priests, anybody who wants to be a disciple. And so then it goes on, you will show me the path to life, fullness of joys in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. Isn't that beautiful? That's a promise. And this psalmist is giving us echoing this promise that he's heard himself. You promised me that I'll be with you forever and that I'll know you. That's beautiful. Thank you for that, Lord. And I want to be your disciple. I want to be your learner. So that's the way that text goes. It's a nice meditation on discipleship. All right, we'll stop now.